Remove your gadgets, Simon, that's it, from this spot. Good evening all, great to see you all this evening. Seems higher up here for some reason, I'm sure it's not. Perhaps it's just the lectern. It's been a little while since our last foray into gifts of grace, several weeks I think, so let's remind ourselves of the signature scripture for this series, which is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you have Bibles with you and want to open them there, please do. It says this, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." And then cutting down to verse 4, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." And lots of different gifts, and if you were to read down in 1 Corinthians to what follows, you discover that they are distributed to a very diverse body. That's the church. The church is symbolized in 1 Corinthians 12 as being a body made up of all these different parts. And just cast your eyes around you this evening. Different colors, different ages, different levels of fitness, different experiences, different, just completely and utterly different. That is the body of Christ. That is the way that God's Spirit distributes his gifts. Tonight's gift is the gift of faith. The gift of faith given by the Holy Spirit for the common good. Boy, what a wrestle I've had with this week. It didn't start off that way. It started out as kind of, as you do, you get a verse that you're going to preach from. You go into it. You kind of feel like you have hopefully revealed by God's Holy Spirit where he wants you to go. But as I dug and I dug, I just kept digging and just kept digging, just kept digging. And I began to lose my way in all of this. It's one of the reasons I think is just the scale of this. Faith is just a monumental issue. Faith covers spans the entire book of Scripture, from Old Testament to New Testament throughout. So I attempted in my struggle to focus on the gift of faith. But of course, You can't just to focus on one thing. There's always a context that you've got to try and wrestle with as well, and try and grapple with as well. And so, as soon as I sort of seemed to have my focus back, I went back. I've had a right old issue. Let me talk you through some of it. God loves us all. Do you believe that? I hope you do. Certainly, Christians amongst you, that's what we believe to be the case. If you're not a Christian here, maybe that is not your understanding. Maybe you don't feel that way as yet. But that is, church, is it not, our doctrine. God loves the world. John 3:16, God sent his Son for the whole world, the sins of the whole world. And it's not about performance. God loves us despite who we are. God loves us despite our sin. God loves us despite our failings. Jesus died for us, we're told, when we were sinners, in our worst spot. It's not about performance. I've heard an expression, I don't believe it's from Scripture itself, but I believe it resonates very powerfully with Scripture. It says this, "Nothing that we can do will make him love us any more. Nothing that we can do will make him love us any less." That's exactly what Simon was talking about with mercy and grace. That's kind of the nature of God and his relationship with us. And this idea that it's not about our performance is so important because it's such a powerful antidote to our habitual inclination, which is to try and earn our salvation, to try and prove ourselves, to try and impress God, to try and impress others. Do you, Do you find that in yourself? Do you know that to be in your heart? That's such a big part, I know, of my heart. Salvation is by faith. It's just by faith. It's not by works. We can't earn our way to heaven. That is such a powerful element of the Christian doctrine. And yet, we cannot get away from the evidence. This is my wrestle, this is my discovery, this is my reminder this week, that our faith pleases God. And our lack of faith displeases or saddens him. So, for example, one of the most well-known passages of Scripture on faith, in Scripture, is found in Hebrews chapter 11. And if you have a Bible in front of you, you may want to turn there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this: Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. But verse 2 then goes on to say, this is what the ancients were commended for. They were commended for their faith. God was pleased with their faith. And then Hebrews chapter 11 just goes on to recount this great long list of these guys. He did this and God was excited about that. And he did this and God was excited about that. And he did this and God commended him for doing that. And they were commended. Hebrews 11 verse 6 goes even further and says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So already we've got a bit of a mix here. God loves us anyway. God loves us despite what we are. But we can please or displease God, it seems, with our faith. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus encounters a Roman centurion. The centurion blows Jesus away because he says, look, you don't have to touch the, perform some sign. You just say the word and you can heal. And Jesus is amazed at this guy's faith and commends him. And he says, truly, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. He was amazed. In Mark chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus visits in his hometown of Nazareth. And we are told that he was amazed at their lack of faith. It definitely occurred to me that there's two sorts of amazement. There's wow amazement and there's amazement. As well, Jesus is kind of amazed in a positive way in the one thing and then amazed in a very negative way in another situation. Those are not isolated incidents. In Matthew 15, confronted by the faith of a Canaanite woman, Jesus commends her, is amazed by her great faith, that she would consider herself kind of just a dog underneath a table picking up scraps. But that's good enough for her from Jesus. Jesus commends her. And then with his disciples, his chosen bods who have been following him around for years, who have seen him resurrected, at the end of Mark 16, Jesus says he rebuked his disciples for their lack of faith. So God wants our faith. My conclusion from all that. God wants our faith. He wants to see our faith. And perhaps you're sitting out there saying, well, we get that, Toby. What's the problem? What's the problem with that? Well, my problem was, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, says that faith, it talks about the gift of faith. How can we be challenged to have done something that is supposed to be given to us as a gift? If I lack it, if I lack something, surely God, that's your problem for not giving it to me. You see my quandary? Do you see that? Now, I don't want the ground to open up under my feet or some lightning bolt to come down. Forgive me, Lord, if this. I don't want to be trite with this. But this was my wrestle with this. So is faith a gift or is it not a gift? When is it a gift and when is it not a gift? I imagine this scenario. Genevieve, I want you to save your pocket money this week. Okay, Dad. Genevieve. 1 week later, did you save your pocket money this week?
No, Dad.
I rebuke you for not saving your pocket money. Why did you not save your pocket money?
You didn't give me any, Dad. How can I save it?
This was my wrestle. Is faith an internal thing that I'm supposed to show God that he's excited about and he wants to see? Or is faith something that he gives me and I'm just performing something that he's given me? So this was my wrestle. Is faith something internal or is it a gift? Well, I hesitate to give a definitive answer. Any of you know me? No, I'm not a theologian. That is my station in life. I truly can't give an answer. My best effort is to suggest the answer, as we've seen in a similar way, I think, with other gifts of the Spirit, gifts of grace, is that it's both. It is both. It is both an internal thing that we are supposed to have and to demonstrate. And it must be both. And it must be also something that in other instances, perhaps, or in other situations, that God gives. So as we read in some of the other gifts of grace that we looked at, we're called to serve. Some are given the gift of service. Sorry, we're all called to serve, but some are given the gift of service. We're all called to share our faith, but some are given the particular gift of evangelism or to be an evangelist. We're all called to encourage, but some are given a specific gift to encourage. There is a general calling to live out our Christian walk and do these things, but there is a specific, perhaps, equipping in other situations to do so. Maybe we have a general faith, which is this internal thing that God wants to see. It's about our relationship with God. It's about how that relationship grows. But maybe there's also a different gift of faith that God injects somehow into us or into situations. Maybe faith is fired not just into specific people, but into specific people in specific situations. Now, I confess that is all conjecture. I don't know that. I don't know that I can see when it's kind of internal faith and when it's external faith. But that was kind of my hunch as I was wrestling with this. And I started thinking about Scripture, about particular situations in Scripture. I think of David and Goliath, that day when the nation of Israel is there in trembling, God's people there trembling with this hog of a bloke shouting abuse at them, hurling insults at them. Was that an injection of faith moment in David's life? David was a faithful follower of God already. We know that. So was that maybe just his internal, or was that an injection of faith? I think of Elijah and that confrontation with the prophets of Baal. If you know Scripture, it was Elijah, one guy, lined up against hundreds of prophets of Baal. Hundreds. You imagine those odds? A whole room, this whole place full of people who hate you, who oppose you, and just you on your own. Did Elijah get, in that instance, I wonder, a little injection of faith from God? Was it there when Wilbur Chapman... Anyone heard of Wilbur Chapman? No, he wasn't. Wilbur Chapman was not a cricketer. He was the guy that was preaching when Billy Graham was converted. Now, he converted this preacher, I understand, lots of people over kind of the course of his ministry, praise God. But any of us who know modern times and the faith know that Billy Graham has been responsible for preaching and converting for hundreds and thousands and millions of people. Was he there, that injection of their faith, when Wilbur Chapman preached? I got a couple of scenarios where I believe in my life that God, I really had such a powerful sense of God injecting faith into my situation. I've got one when my brother and his wife split up. And I've got one when I was managing a drug and alcohol recovery program and there was a crisis. Which one would you like to hear, people? If you want to hear about my brother and his wife, you can stick your hand up. If you want to hear about the ODA, you can stick your hand up. Okay? There were only three hands went up. I could read that as you don't want to hear about either of them, but maybe you didn't have enough time to think. But anyway, I'm going to go with the ODA one then, okay? Which was this. I was back at home. I was working at home. That meant I was in Eastleigh. There was a crisis situation down at the ODAC recovery house. We had any of you know anything about drug and alcohol recovery? It is a real difficult thing to overcome. It is a real difficult thing to deal with. What you're trying to do in a recovery house is create a setting, create an environment which is conducive to, you know, health and things. It's a nurturing atmosphere. But it's a precious, fragile environment, something can fracture that very easily. And we had a house situation where we had a bunch of new guys, which means they're fresh and raw and, you know, fresh from the mess coming into this situation. What changes a situation completely is when people decide to change, when people repent, when people decide, I've had enough. And then despite the fact that you're dealing with people that have got criminal records that have been at each other's throats, when they make a decision to change, everything can change. These guys came into the recovery program saying, everything has changed, and yet there was a theft in the house. Now this, bear in mind, these recovery houses, they're not manned by staff 24/7. That environment is created by the people that are living in there. So this thing is in, you know, is on the edge. This thing is about to implode. And I'm all the way down in Eastleigh on my day working at home. And the house manager up there has basically said, I don't know what to do with this. And I'm, Oh, what am I doing? I don't want to deal with this situation. I really don't. I can't deal with this situation. I'm pacing up and down the garden. Because I'm getting burdened by God. This is yours. This is you. This is your responsibility. Toby, get your act together. Get on your... What am I going to... I don't know. Oh, just don't want to know. I want to walk away. But God began to... He just began to work on my heart, and he actually put into me what's going to happen. So this is what makes me think it was an injection of God's Spirit and not this is coming from me, because I'm a chicken. I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to go and confront this situation. What's me going to do with these big hairy lumps? Kind of, I don't know. But God kind of put the solution on my heart. You're going to go up there and you're going to tell them someone's made a terrible mistake. It's okay. You're all fresh. That happens. That's your old way of life. You were supposed to have left that in the door. Someone brought it in, brought the old way of life through the door and forgot that bit. So what's going to happen? Whoever's done that, he's going to put the money back tonight, and then we're going to forget all about it, and we're going to move on with life, right? That's what God put on my heart. That's what God put, and he convinced me. Hairs on the back of my neck, transformed from wimpy, chickeny Toby to God's kind of, you know, voice going into this place. This is how it's going to happen. Close your eyes. Imagine what it was like back in the day. You got a fresh chance, fresh stuff. This is how it's going to happen. And I shoved off and left it to him. And the money turned up, house moved on. All of that generation of guys stayed together. That was God's, I believe, that was an injection of God's Spirit in my life. Now, why did he use me in that particular time, given that? I don't know. I have no idea. But I'm convinced that was an injection of God's Spirit. How about you? How about you? Has he used you in that kind of way yet? Are you ready to be used in that kind of way, maybe? I have no idea why in that particular time, in that particular spot, it was me and it wasn't somebody else. But I'm convinced that was it. Now, if you know me, you know I'm not particularly righteous. You know, if you know me, I've got faults and sins aplenty. But he decided to use me that day. And I believe every single one of us could be that. Was it just my internal stuff? Don't think so. Did he just want a particular channel that day? That's what I think. I was his bod in that spot right now for an injection of his Spirit. Could that be you? Could that be you in your office tomorrow? Could that be you in your workplace tomorrow? Could that be you in your family situation tomorrow? I hope, folks, that we would consider being used by God, being a channel. What does that require of us? I don't know. Just being there, being ready, I think. And once that conviction, once that injection comes in, not running away and not fighting. I know from Scripture in Jonah, for example, that God gives Jonah his charge and he shoves off. He just doesn't want to do it. He runs away. And I feel like that was a bit of me pacing up the garden. I don't want to do this. But eventually he kind of responded to God's call and God's injection. I hope that all of us might choose and might want to be that channel for God. Is that the gift of faith? I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know. I really don't know. I really don't know how that works or exactly how that works. But do we actually need to know? Do I really need to know whether that was my internal stuff or whether that was a gift, God's gift? Is that actually what's important in the situation, or is it just simply, okay, I've heard the message, off I go. I need to do what I've been called to do. It's occurred to me that a huge part of our spiritual life is I don't knows. There's a lot of I don't knows in our spiritual walk. A massive part of faith is simply trusting in God. It's trusting that God knows what he's doing and that we don't need to know necessarily. We just need to go. We just need to accept. We just need to trust. We don't have to know the answer. We don't have to know exactly whether it's this or that or the other. We just need to respond. And so before we take communion together, I'm going to ask that if we sing, if I can invite the singers and the band up, we're going to sing about trust. And as we're in this place, I'd really like you to focus on those words. We don't know what is around the next corner for us. We don't know how God is going to ask to use us. But my prayer for myself going forward and for each one of us would be that we would open ourselves. We would be ready and that we would trust in God to use us. Let's stand and sing.